seated. St. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The Greek verb baptizo means to dip or submerge something repeatedly. The idea, I think, originally being, if you might think of a dish being dipped in the water to cleanse it. And so from that root came the meaning of wash or cleanse. And then finally, from that, a further development, the idea of being flooded or overwhelmed by water. Baptism is with water, and all of these original meanings of the word in Greek play into the Christian sense of the term. Water is for us life, one of the most basic necessities for our existence. But water also can overwhelm or drown us and bring death. As an essential for our existence, water brings comfort, coolness, softening, and cleansing. In the Near East, which is a very arid and dry place for the most part, this basic meaning plays into hospitality. It's customary when a guest comes to offer water for washing, particularly washing your feet. If you think of people wearing sandals and walking, getting hot, dusty feet. I was once in Haiti wearing sandals with socks on and sitting, and a girl came up and started cleaning my sandals. She didn't use water, but she started cleaning my sandals, and I thought, this is very biblical. And then I looked around me, and there were goats, and, you know, it looked very biblical. So water as an act of hospitality, offering water, is a basic idea in this culture. For such a culture where the desert is always just a few miles away, everyone understands that water is life-giving and precious. So the positive side of baptism is pretty clear in that culture. What baptism brings: washing, cleansing, purification, renewal, life. John the Baptist and our Lord both preached the need for the confession of sin and baptism for the washing away of sin. Everyone in the crowd understood this meaning for water baptism. But an arid land also understood the dangerous side of water. The ancient Israelites and Jews did not really like large bodies of water. They were afraid of them. And if you read the Psalms and look at the Old Testament, there are lots of references to storms and drowning. And that's also present in the New Testament. If you think about the apostles as fishermen, they did go out on the Sea of Galilee. We call it the sea. It's really just a lake. But even that lake had storms, and there were occasions when the boat they were in came close to being swamped or overcome by storms. So water was threatening. And even in the desert, the very occasional sudden rain could bring a huge flood to a wadi, a dry desert riverbed, and kill people who were unawares. So water could also mean storms, floods, sudden calamity, drowning, and death. This aspect of water also is present in the meaning of baptism. In baptism, the old man is supposed to die and be swept away in waters of rebirth. Baptism drowns the old as it brings life to the new. Baptism brings drowning, just as the Red Sea flooded Pharaoh and his wicked host. In our fallen world, death and birth are intertwined. And so it is with baptism. Life, death, rebirth, new life. How can a man be born again? Asked old Nicodemus when he comes to Jesus by night. Our Lord answers, by being born of water and the Spirit, through which, he says, we enter into the kingdom of God. It is this kingdom of God which is the center of the preaching of John, and also of Jesus. And if you pay attention in the Gospels, it's what Jesus tells his disciples to preach when they go forth on their mission. Proclaim the coming of the kingdom of God. Repentance and baptism. Baptism and life in God's kingdom are both a death and a life. A growing death to self and sin, a growing life of obedience to God. Baptism is the river of which the psalmist speaks when he writes, "There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God." Baptism makes glad the church. Now we read the gospel story of our Lord's baptism today in Epiphanytide because of the descent of the dove, of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of the Father from heaven after the baptism itself. The baptism, even apart from the dove and the voice, also manifested forth Christ and in particular showed the nature of his ministry. Epiphany is the season of manifestation, so those things that proclaim and explain Christ are appropriate to the season. Our Lord's teaching and his miracles, his passion, his cross bring washing and life, but do so through death and rebirth. When we are baptized in imitation of Christ, we are initiated into the mystery of his resurrected life, life which comes through death, victory that comes through deceit, washing that comes through bloodshed. St. Mark's Gospel begins with the water baptism of John and ends with what we might call the blood baptism of Good Friday and the cross. Christ's painful death on Calvary is called a baptism by our Lord himself later in this same Gospel of Mark. When James and John come and ask Jesus, in effect, to make them number one and number two in heaven, among other things, our Lord says to them in response, "Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Again, in St. Luke's Gospel, our Lord says, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Here he is speaking of his coming, suffering, and cross. This hard and difficult and straitening baptism is the pain of the cross. So Mark's baptism, we might say, begins and Mark's gospel begins and ends with a baptism. First, the baptism by water in Jordan, and then at the end, the baptism in blood on Calvary. At the Jordan long ago, our Lord showed us that we are to follow him into the waters, which will give us eternal life. But this baptism is not merely an imitation of the outward washing or of the ceremony and rites that make up the sacrament of baptism. Christ's baptism includes a further imitation of him, namely the metaphorical baptism of his cross. We too have a further baptism to be baptized with and are straitened till it be accomplished. This baptism into Christ's cross and death is the lifelong business of Christians. Most of us, I'm sure, do not think we are very successful Christians. I like W.H. Auden's self-description of himself as an attempting Christian. And if you'll read his biographies, you'll find he didn't always attempt very hard. I hope we at least are Christians who are attempting, who are at least trying sometimes to follow Christ's example of service and self-sacrifice and love. We may not succeed very much, but perhaps it matters more that we do keep trying. We know ourselves to be very flawed, but we also know that we would be much, much worse if we weren't trying to be disciples. The cup of Christ's passion and the baptism into his cross are difficult things, of which we were warned when Christ said, "The disciple is not above his master." And again, "Whosoever will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me daily." Perhaps our self-denial is very imperfect and our following of him is from too far behind, but at any rate, while there is life, there is hope, and we hope that in our baptism of water and our baptism of blood, We will try, by God's grace, to move towards eternal life. Christ came and was baptized of John in Jordan. We come from here and there and were baptized in the little Jordan of the font. Now let us, with James and John, drink from the cup of Christ's cross, and so be baptized in his precious blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.